You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. It's Brooke DeVard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I'm sitting here with Danielle Prescott. You are the fashion editor for BET.com.
I'm actually the style editor.
Run
the whole style vertical. So anything that's to do with fashion, beauty.
Amazing.
Living, all of it.
Yes. And I feel like BET is like an amazing place to do it. I just went to the Hip Hop Awards in Miami and I was just like, all of these sparkles, all of these bodies, like it's like a whole thing.
Yes, it is like I have met more rappers in the past year than I ever thought was possible. So it is a very exciting place to be.
And have you always worked in fashion?
I have always worked in fashion, yes.
Okay, where were you before?
Right before I came to BET, I was at InStyle magazine.
Oh, yeah. That's really different.
It was so different. Yeah. And I actually kind of had like a mental breakdown there. I was just like, I cannot do this anymore. I just felt like it was so irresponsible of me to like tell women exactly how to dress like Kate Hudson from like head to toe every day. And I was like, who cares?
I know. But there's also must be something really nice about working with like people of color, mostly black people, right?
Oh, yeah. It's so cool. It's very liberating. I feel very radicalized now.
Yes.
In a way that I don't think I was able to be before.
Yeah. And I think that you do a really good job of like calling out people when they do things that are crazy. Like all of the Meghan, I'm going to ruin her last name, Merkel.
Merkel. Yeah.
All of the like, what was the headline that people had? It was like, she's a sign for hope.
Oh, yeah. Good Morning America tweeted out Meghan Markle's engagement gives hope to black women. I know. I had one of my writers do a takedown of that today. It was ridiculous.
You see that and you think, how many people approved this and let it happen? When you're in a room where there is no black person there, or even there should have been a white person that said, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, and it doesn't happen.
When's the wedding going to be? It's going to be in the spring, I guess.
It's a Memorial Day weekend, actually.
Okay.
Which is excited. Pretty mean because now I have to work Memorial Day weekend. I'll never forget Kimye also got married Memorial Day weekend.
Oh my gosh, and you have to like cover it?
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I'm like, this is so rude.
I know. Are you always working?
Yes, pretty much.
You don't have any days off.
Well, I've tried to make it a priority to start taking time off and days off because it's not healthy to like be so plugged in all the time and to work like crazy. It's just like not sustainable either. So I have like a team now, which I'm very lucky to have.
That's
great. Like I can sort of delegate more, but I do like I'm plugged in a lot, which is
you kind of like have to be for your job. Mm-hmm. But I also find that I'm like kind of a hypocrite because especially like with this wedding, like half of me is like, who cares? But I'm also really excited.
I'm so excited. I'm so into it because it's like endless content. You know, like Kate Middleton is internet gold. Like, and there are so many websites that just get so much traffic from like Kate Middleton got a I mean, even if she cuts her hair 3 inches, it's a story, right?
I know.
And so I never, especially working at BET, I don't have the opportunity to like cover someone like
that. Right. So now you get to talk
about it. So now I get my Kate Middleton and I'm thrilled.
That's really exciting. I never thought about that. That's really great.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Kate and Meghan kind of look alike. Is that weird that I think
that? People say that a lot.
Like when I saw her, I was like, she kind of looks like Kate.
Yeah. Someone was like, there's definitely like a requirement, like aesthetics that they have to fill.
The like brunette, bouncy blowout.
But also, you know, like their look is very controlled as well. Like there's certain things they're not allowed to wear.
Right. Like I heard they can't have colored nail polish.
Yeah.
What else can't they do?
I don't know. There was something that Megan did about a purse the other day where she like carried the wrong purse and everyone was like bent out of shape about it, or she carried her purse the wrong way.
Oh,
like,
my God.
But like, you know, the kids, George can't wear pants until he's like five.
So what does he wear?
Shorts and little socks. Isn't that crazy?
That's so bizarre. I remember, so I was living in London when he was born and there were all of these people camped outside of the hospital overnight. And I was like, what is everyone waiting for? And they were like, for like our new king to be born. And I was like, this is just such a different culture. I just can't.
It's very bizarre.
Fully relate to it. But I guess we have Beyonce and Jay-Z. I feel like they're American royalty.
Like, yeah, like, but it's close. Different because like they get to like make their own rules. They get to say what they want. True. Beyonce can swear.
Yeah.
If like Megan swore on, you know, some sort of footage or video, like the world would be over.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I just feel like it's so controlled in a way that's like, it's not a very fair way to live. I actually feel kind of sorry for them. Like, it doesn't seem fun at all. I don't envy her life. Like, people just like digging up all this stuff from her past. Like,
I know.
She has half siblings that are two decades older than her writing books about it. It's like, what is going on?
I know. And then the fact that even like that her race is such a big part of the conversation just feels a little ridiculous as well.
Part of the conversation. Like, some black people are mad she's not black enough. And then, you know,
How do you feel about
that, by the way? That she is like black at all. It's just crazy.
How do you feel about this idea of being black enough?
I mean, I think that in general, race is a construct. So if you buy into all of that, then you're an idiot.
Yeah. It's not something that I ever hear like amongst black people in real life. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like one of those things that you see on the internet, you don't actually encounter in real life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You, for your job, you have to be plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also read from your Instagram bio.
Mm-hmm.
Your description is pathological need for attention.
Yep.
And wait, there's one
which
other
I
thing.
Got from a Harry Potter movie.
And you have Content Monster.
Yes.
And you have
trademark.
Content Monster trademark. And you have 25,000 followers. And I look at all of your stories. That's why I feel like I know you. You're like constantly posting.
Mm-hmm.
But you, the reason why I love following you is because you do it in a way that's like funny and humorous. What is like your relationship to social media?
I keep my phone on Do Not Disturb all the time.
Really?
Which is great. Okay. Yes, because I mean, it delays my response to text messages a lot, but it also means that it's not going off. I don't have notifications on my phone either. So no Twitter, no Instagram.
Like,
I also try and turn my phone off like some nights, which is really good too, because now I have an Alexa and Alexa can be my alarm. So my excuse before was like, oh, I need my phone on because it's my alarm.
Your alarm. Yeah.
But now Alexa wakes me up so I can turn my phone off if I want to. But just because I also talk to so many of my friends like via Instagram DM, like we constantly send each other memes all the time and like just, it's like my actual friends and there's a lot of them too. So it just is too overwhelming to be talking to strangers. And like, while I want to help people, like people ask me crazy things and I'm like, I do not have time for this.
Right. Well, cause you're a big proponent of fasting, which we'll get into a little bit later, but I'm sure that lots of people have questions for you about like how to do it and
questions about weight loss. People always want to ask me, I can't even tell you how many questions I get about dating and dieting. Like it's,
dating and dieting. Those are like your really subject matter expertise.
I'm like, how did I get this to be like this person?
Well, I think it's because you're so candid about it, and most women are either like trying to find someone, or most single women I should say, or like trying to lose weight. Like all women are trying to lose weight, I think. So because you're like candid about it and you speak about it in terms of like it being like a struggle and an up and down thing, people are probably like, okay, I know that Danielle's gonna keep it real, so let me reach out to her.
Exactly. Like if something's like hard or uncomfortable, like I'm not afraid to say it. Yeah. I also don't worry about like what my feed looks like. A lot of people are like, oh my God, like this isn't on brand for me. I don't look at my Instagram as like a direct representation
of
me or like fictional like resume type thing. I don't know. Like, I don't want to just have like all these professional photos. Like sometimes I want to have like a meme, and sometimes that meme could be really like funny, or sometimes it'd be like kind of depressing, but also funny.
Yeah, you know?
So I don't want to just be posting these like glamour shots almost because that's not reality. It's not like, and that's like retouched. My worst fear is that someone like sees me and they're like, you don't look anything like your pictures.
Like
that's horrible. And that happens
all the time, especially here in New York. Like I'm like, so you're... Like it's really shocking.
Right. So I don't do like any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is like really like what I look like.
And all, but also like we were talking about it earlier, like people do become really not fun to hang out with when they're so obsessed with like capturing content for social media and just so fixated on how do I create a post out of this moment?
Yeah. Exactly. Like I, if I like go to an event or something where I owe someone a post, I really try and like be one and done. I'm never like, can you take 90 more of these photos? Or like, can you like really hold it super high? And like, you know, I know people that like have one person over here with the flash going and one person over with the phone. And I'm just like, that seems like such a time suck where you could actually be enjoying this like amazing party or wherever you're at. Like I try not to distract too much from like having fun or living my life by like taking pictures. Like it's very easy to just get one shot and be like, okay, good enough. Like
good enough.
I know I owe them a picture, so here it is and I'm done.
Right. Right. And also like just to not overthink it. Like in your case, you're talking about probably like getting paid or like getting invited. Like some people aren't even getting that and they're like really overthinking it.
I know.
It's like,
I mean, I'm sure in your neighborhood you see all these girls like walking up and down these brownstone steps. I'm like, could you be doing anything else?
Oh my God.
Or like when I go to a workout class and I see all these girls like after or before, like trying to get like a perfect shot. And I'm just like, it just seems like a lot of work and like not that fun. Like I think that when it becomes not fun, like you should probably stop doing it.
I agree. And then, but also I think, you know, working in fashion, you get all of this stuff sent to you, which I'm always dying, like looking at you, you're just like, oh, someone sent me this, someone sent me that. But you wrote like literally one of the favorite things I've read this entire year for Man Repeller. You wrote an amazing story about like clearing out your closet and trying to like kind of reconcile between this version of yourself that was more, you know, for the picture, for the image versus what you actually wanted to wear. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I've been working in fashion since I was 18 years old.
And your sister also works in fashion, right?
She does. Yeah. She followed me.
Oh, really? Where does she work again?
Now she works at bustle.com.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I think that one of the things you do when you work in fashion is you sort of adopt the style of wherever it is you're working because you like become an extension of that brand.
Right.
So I, you know, dressed very differently at Mode Operandi than I did when I worked at Elle.
Oh my gosh, you worked at Mode Operandi.
I did work at Mode Operandi.
I've heard it's rough there.
Well, when I was there, I was employee like number 28.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, I think a very different company.
Yeah.
And, you know, it changed a lot over the 2 years that I worked there. Yeah. But I was a very like early person. And, you know, when I worked there, like it was like all fashion fantasy. I had like all these like big skirts and
Rosie Asselin and
like all this stuff that it's just like, this is not wearable for real life. Mm-hmm. Like it just looks insane.
Right.
And it just like also like a lot of it like wasn't even comfortable, like which is like something I'm like, this is just crazy.
I know.
Like if
but it looks good, but it's not comfortable.
Yeah. But I'm like, if I can't sit down in something or like worse, I can't like wash something, like it would be like,
yes,
you know,
that's a huge thing about like dry
$70 to clean
exactly
a pair of pants.
Right.
Because like, it's like crazy embellished or got leather panels or whatever.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't live my life like that. I can't afford to live my life like that. So it just felt like a lot of pretending and like I was doing things to fit in to like wherever I was working. And it was just so inauthentic to me. Like I love clothes. I think I always have. I always will. But it was just like, this is too much. And like, what if I just like to dress boring, like
just
what if
simple
I, like,
basics.
Yeah,
but like you're also one of these girls that's like photographed at Fashion Week and you get like the cool street style photographs. Like you must feel like you've got to come with somewhat of a look. You can't just like be in a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, that's a huge pressure. But at the same time, I'm like also like, you know what, I just want to be like myself.
Yourself.
So
yeah,
if I do feel like wearing a t-shirt and jeans today, I will.
Yeah,
you know, Fashion Week is
such a parade.
It's a thing, right?
Yeah.
But it happens twice a year. And sometimes, and you're working for like 8 days straight, you know, and it's like nonstop from like 9 to 9 every day. So like on Saturday and Sunday, if I want to wear sneakers, I'm going to do
that. Just do it. Yeah. Do you still get excited about going to the shows?
No.
I actually had like a really big like moment of reckoning when I, like the time that I knew I had to leave Ralph Lauren was when I was like working, because I did social media there. I was like working backstage, like covering the collection for Fashion Week. And I was like, this isn't fun.
Well, actually the Ralph show was like one of the ones I actually liked.
Well, it's a beautiful show.
Because it's so old school. Like no one does it like that.
It's like very classic. They do like two showings. It's like very like
the buying show and the editorial show. And then they had like, I mean, when it was, at Clark's Inn, they had like the chandeliers they put in there. It just felt so like this is how like a fashion show was like in the 90s when you like look at like YouTube videos, which I just think it's like cool that it's just great. Like this works for us and we're gonna do that rather than like, I mean, as much as I loved Fenty, I thought that was like my favorite show, but it like almost gave me a heart attack.
Yeah,
these like motocross people are like flipping their bikes over our heads and I was like, are we insured? Like, what's going on? What happens if like one of them falls or something happens?
Yeah. Well, I was backstage at that show and I realized that it just wasn't that fun. And then I kind of realized that that was like the height. Like it's never, if you are working in fashion and doing social media for fashion, if you're not having fun, like covering the show backstage for Fashion Week, like it's not really going to get better than that. So I was like, I need to just move on and not work in fashion anymore.
Totally.
And I don't really miss it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I still love the clothes and I still, I think, do have this propensity towards like buying something that really catches my eye and like would be great for a photograph, but not necessarily for real life. And then so you develop this closet that has specialty pieces, but not necessarily everything that's like wearable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had so many shoes because I was an accessories editor that like I just like couldn't even walk in and like they were so beautiful in my house and like, and they would look really nice in a picture, but then I would never choose them because I'm like,
they're not
even the walk to the Uber right now is like scaring me. So imagine what my night's gonna be. And then you just get crabby and you know, something's itchy or too tight or doesn't fit. It's just like, it's not a good way to live. So now I just try to wear what I want, do what I want.
And I think it comes with age too.
Yes,
like now
absolutely.
At 28, I'm just like, I can't be bothered to do like the super high heel or anything super tight in bodycon. I can do bodycon if it's like stretchy, but I can't do the like, I can't breathe all night.
Right, exactly.
Look, it just doesn't really work for me. And at BET, like, are people pretty casual?
Oh my
the
God.
The only one, I know like it's Janine like and Connie always look fabulous, really.
Yeah, well, I never really see Connie because she is like,
she's like always in LA. Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's super like Viacom is super casual overall. People,
my first week,
I was so confused. I was like, what is ever? I was like, what is this? Flip-flops. Is an office?
Flip flops,
I'm ripped like, jeans, baseball hats.
Yes. I mean, I wear my workout clothes to work sometimes.
I mean, you
like,
can.
If I, yeah, if I'm like shooting something or if I had like a workout class in the morning, like, I'm like, this is totally acceptable for me to wear leggings right now.
Yeah. No one would even bat an eyelash.
Not at all.
So this experience, since you kind of like cleaned out your closet and like stuck more to basics, has it been 1,000 times better since? Are you still like working on it?
No, I'm still working on it. I mean, I do have like a shopping thing. And I've realized that that's also part of my problem because it's like, I mean, I got rid of stuff, but I never stop wanting stuff.
Yes.
And I think it is because I like fast all the time. So I don't like, like, you know.
You don't have food as a reward.
I don't like enjoy food like that. And I'm also celibate. And
oh my God.
And I'm sober and I don't drink. So it's like all of these like trifecta things. I'm like, it's gotta break somewhere.
Somewhere.
So like I'm constantly shopping and I'm not kidding, my doorman every single day are like, you have a package, you have a package. And I'm like, is this becoming a problem?
Oh my gosh. Wait, so okay, so you take me through all of these things you don't do. So you fast all the time.
Yeah.
And why do you do it? Mm-hmm. What started it? How long do you like go without eating food? Because I know like you drink, but like just take me through the whole fasting thing.
Okay, so I see a nutritionist. His name is Dr. Charles Passler, and I've been seeing him for about 3 years now.
Okay, and there's like a kind of like a cult around him, right?
Yeah, I mean, he does like so many models, actors, like his like list of celebrities.
And what made you like go to him?
I actually started going to him because I was working on a story on Victoria's Secret.
And he
infamously helped Adriana Lima lose 50 pounds in like 8 weeks or something ridiculous before she had to walk in the Victoria's Secret show after she had a baby.
Yeah, I remember that.
So he gets girls ready for the show, essentially.
Okay.
So I started seeing him and he just was like, oh, you need a lot of help.
But you're so like slim already. Like, were you going to him for like weight loss advice?
Well, I mean, he helped me lose like 20 pounds. I used to be 20 pounds bigger.
Really?
Yes. I, in fact, was like two clothing sizes bigger too.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So he has like really helped me shrink. But
Does he do? He assesses your diet, like.
So yeah, the first session he kind of like talks to you about like your relationship with food, because a lot of people do like stress eat. A lot of people use food as a reward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's like something we're taught as like kids. It's like you get a cake on your birthday.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, a special occasion, you should have a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And that carries, you know, into adulthood, or like certain relationships with food, like, you know, clean plate club, for example. Right. Like right. that is like how I was raised.
Yeah, and it's to finish like, the food on your plate.
That also like creates a problem like when you're an adult.
Because you're not like listening to your hunger signals.
Especially in America. Like we have such enormous portions and like yeah. imagine eating all of that.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, so he talks to you about like the kind of like thoughts you have behind how you eat and what you eat.
Okay.
And then about your drinking habits and all this stuff.
Okay.
And then he gives you like a few tests to take home, like urine tests, and then you bring them back for your next whoa. Session. Then he looks at them and tells you like what you kind of need. So he puts everyone pretty much on a detox. And the detox involves shakes and vegetables.
Okay.
For 7 days. And I think like in 7 days, I lost 8 pounds. It was wow. like crazy.
What's in the shake? Is it like something
it's like
that
a
you
protein
could recreate?
Shake. Okay. So you can like buy the powder on his website. It's called Pure Change is his program. And it's like, you know, you do one scoop of protein powder, mm-hmm. some almond milk or some water, and you okay. shake it up. You have that. So it's like shake and vegetables alternating like all day for 8 days. And it gets like very tedious, like towards the
yeah.
end. And I was actually in London at the end of my detox, and I was like, called him. Oh, no, I WhatsApped him. And I was like, Dr. P, what do I eat now? He's like, what do you want? I was like, weirdly, I want some chicken. And he was like, exactly. And it's so crazy because I had been a vegetarian for 8 years before I like started seeing him.
Oh, my God.
So I started eating meat again after because he was like, yeah,
your body
so
needs it.
Protein deficient. Like you actually like were oh, craving wow. that. So then he like just after that, he puts you on like modified like eating plans where he just gives you like times to eat and it helps you recognize when you're actually hungry because
sure.
My thing was that I would eat when I was bored or I would eat when I was
right.
thinking.
Right. I do. I eat when I'm bored all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like when I'm like working. So like yeah. just to have something to distract
it's
myself
like that
with.
Hand to mouth
yes.
thing.
And I'm like
yeah.
working. And I think that's something I like brought from college. Like when I was working on papers or
yeah.
something, I would always need to be snacking.
Yeah.
And just like when you're like, okay, I can only eat at like 8:30, 11:30, 3:30. It really like gives you time and space to think about when you're actually hungry and like mm-hmm. what you're putting in your body. So for him, it's like times you're eating and like what you're feeding your body with.
Right. So I assume you can't have like carbs, sugar.
So
dairy.
He like weaned me off a lot of things like sugar. I'm super sensitive to now. Like I'm like, this is going to put me in a coma or
oh
like
gosh.
I'll just get really hyped up if I have sugar.
Oh, I wish that I had that relationship
because sugar is so addicting. It's
I
like,
know.
It's like
I'm so
crazy.
Addicted to it.
Yeah.
I need to just.
So if I have sugar now, like then I'll think about nothing else for like a week.
Really?
Besides more sugar. Yeah. So I just try not to have it because I don't want to put myself in that place.
Yeah.
Now I'm like fasting a lot, which
yeah.
is like.
So how long do you go? So I do intermittent fasting, but
oh,
I think
yeah.
you do something a little bit more hardcore.
Yes. So some days I'll just like fast till dinner time.
So you just wake up, don't
wake
eat.
Up, I have a matcha latte.
Okay.
And then I'll have tea, bone broth, and water for the rest of the day. And
okay.
then, like, by nighttime, I can have food.
Just, like, a small, sensible dinner.
Usually, like, a ketosis-based dinner, which is, like,
okay.
Fat and protein.
Okay. okay.
And certain vegetables, because a lot of vegetables have hidden carbs, like carrots or beets or, like, whatever.
You're
like
really next level. Okay. So, like, carrots and beets, it's, like, too carby.
Anything that's, like, colored is usually, like,
really?
Full of sugar. Mm-hmm. And even,
I
like,
I eat
certain...
sweet potatoes, and I'm, like, I'm so healthy. No.
No.
Wow.
Very sugary. Yeah.
I've got a lot of work to do.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you do matcha latte, water. And then during the day, like, don't you just feel like I just want to like bite into something? Like your first few days doing it, weren't you just like hungry?
No, because he times it and spaces it so that you are like always putting something in your body. So you
got
don't
it.
Get to the point where you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But
yeah.
then you also realize that that is kind of like fake, that feeling
mm-hmm.
like, you're not actually hungry,
right.
you know? Like, I know people all the time, like, I'm starving, I'm going to die. But
yeah.
you really
not,
won't.
Of course.
Like, you can make it actually a
yeah.
really long time
yeah.
without any food. Like, and it just takes you back to, like, the time when people were hunter-gatherers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where we didn't have, like, all this unlimited access to food.
Just to food all the time.
You know, it's like, you ate your meal, and then you didn't eat again till you could get your next meal.
Right.
You know? So, and you also shared it amongst a community, so it wasn't like you were eating, like, tons and tons of food.
Yeah.
So.
And so does everyone around you kind of, they just must know that you don't eat.
Pretty much.
Like you've just made
pretty
it
much.
Known.
Like sometimes my friends are like, are you eating today? Or like my mom, she's like, are you eating this week? And I'm like, yes, you know, yeah, so yeah. Like they know it's very difficult to date like this. Oh my
yeah,
God.
I'm sure, because you can't, it's just, you have like a very strict schedule. And then also I think when you are skinny, like you're very small, people I think freak out probably when they hear that you're not eating, and probably just give you a whole lecture about how you need to eat, right?
I know, exactly. But also it's like there's this whole fasting movement like in Silicon Valley, like where it just like makes you more level-headed, it makes you more clear. Like I'm so efficient if I'm fasting. I feel so sluggish and like, ooh, if I'm like full of food, I really just feel like I get so much more done and everything just like moves quicker.
Do you think it's for everyone?
It's definitely not for everyone. Yeah. Like definitely not. Like it's actually like very difficult. And it's also because so much of our social interactions are based around food. So like, it's, if I have like dinners or if I have dates, it's like very difficult to be like, I'm not eating.
Yeah. So have you seen that? Like, have you lost a lot of weight as a result of this?
Yeah, definitely. But I like, I mean, this year I like yo-yoed in weight so much. So I really was like, I need to like be just really, I want to feel very steady, you know? Yeah. And so like now I feel like I'm at a place where I'm like very steady. But I think, and also I think that like the shape of my body has changed. Like I've eliminated a lot more fat, because the idea of fasting is that like your body starts burning fat as fuel.
Right.
That's what it's, that's what you want to train it to do.
Yeah.
So like, even though I might not go down in like pounds, like I just notice like my clothes fit differently or like I just like look different.
Do you weigh yourself every day?
Not every day.
Okay. Yeah. Does a scale kind of affect your mood? Because I know for me, like sometimes if I know that it's going to be like a bad number, I'm like, let me just not step on the scale.
Yeah, I try to do that too.
Like freak me out.
Yeah, exactly. Like after Thanksgiving, I was like, I'm not getting on the scale.
Yeah.
Like I already feel it. Like I know.
I know.
And then
I
like gave myself like a few days of getting back into my routine, exercising, whatnot. And then I got on the scale and I was like, oh, okay, I feel good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I had, you know, right at that moment, I would have been very upset.
Like go into a spiral. Yeah. Well, okay. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate, because I totally believe in what you're doing and it makes all the sense in the world to me. But is there something wrong with the fact that like normal people are trying to do like Victoria's Secret model level diets?
Oh my God, absolutely. I mean, this was for a story and I think that it got so out of control for me.
Yeah.
But I also feel so much better than I did before. So that's why I continue to do it. Like if it wasn't like an actual physiological change, I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, let me keep doing this. But like, I didn't even know I was feeling bad.
Right.
Like I was like almost permanently hungover. And like, I didn't even know that
didn't
like,
even
I could
realize.
Live a life where like, I wasn't like that.
Feeling
you know
that
what
way.
I mean? But I think that even Adriana Lima like wrote this thing the other day and she was like, I'm no longer going to take my clothes off for like an empty cause, because it was like driving her crazy to wake up every day and wonder if she was good enough or perfect enough or looking good enough, whatever. And she's been doing this since she was 16.
Yeah.
So imagine like what normal people feel like. I mean, we all have like all of these intense pressures, especially women of color.
Yep, that's
you know,
so
to
true.
Look a certain way.
And it's actually, it's so interesting, like specifically on women of color, because I feel like now, like young girls, like young girls growing up have an even more unrealistic body standard around, like,
yes.
I was like obsessed with fashion growing up. Like Leah Cabetti was like my everything. I was like, if I could just be like 110 pounds, like I would be so happy. Like for me, it was always like to be like skinny.
Yeah.
That was my ideal.
Yeah.
But now young girls are looking at these huge, like, ginormous asses.
Booties? Yeah.
Ginormous. And like these, and the legs, it's just like a crazy proportion.
Yeah.
It's not attainable, but I guess.
Well, it's attainable if you have a doctor.
But isn't it like not even legal? I just finished She Gotta Have It and I like suffered through that scene and I was
Can you believe that
people
would
do
that?
That?
I know. It's so crazy. No, but I mean, a lot of people are going to get injections in like everything. I know. I mean, I got my first like injections in my face this year for a story.
Which what'd you do?
It was called a vampire facial. It felt safe because
I've heard about these.
What they do is they take your own blood, they spin it around, they get the plasma out, and then they take the plasma
and put it back into your skin,
inject into your face. So it felt like, you know, kind of okay because it comes from my own body. It's not artificial, but it was super painful, and I was really bruised the next day. And I don't even think that I like saw any like real results where I was like, oh, definitely this is something to go through. That said, I know plenty of girls that have gotten like chin implants, nose jobs, like that get lip fillers, get Juvederm, get Botox, all of it, you know?
Yeah. It's like a constant.
It's just because it's so accessible. It's so easy. It's like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go do this. It costs me less than $500, basically.
Yeah. No, it's even like with hair, I was doing like protective styles for a while, but I was always like searching for like the next hairstyle. And then I just like reached a point where I was like, I'm just going to wear my hair. I'm going to get a really good cut. It was like the first time I actually went and invested in getting a haircut. Because before I was just like doing trims on my own, and I was like growing it and then cutting it. And then I like finally went to Diva Curl.
Oh yeah, Diva Curl, yeah.
Diva Curl.
Yeah.
And I like got a haircut. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like very happy, but I'll probably get bored again because I always change my hair. Mm-hmm. But when I think about how much like mental real estate is spent on thinking about these things,
oh my
God, like...
so much. I read this book this year called Beauty Sick. Oh, and it was about the psychological effects of like the media and just misogyny in general and rape culture on like women, and how it is almost like a form of misogyny to keep women so preoccupied with how they. I mean, I can't even tell you how many men would not even think twice about what they wear to a presentation, but it would keep me up all night. If I have a presentation the next day, like what I'm going to wear,
because you know you're going to be evaluated.
Like how people look at you and like whether or not that's good and bad. And when you attribute being beautiful as a virtue for women specifically only, then it becomes an obsession. Of course it does. But then on the other hand, there's plenty of men and people that want to vilify women who like go after that ideal and aesthetic, right? Like, oh, well, that's fake. And oh, that she doesn't really look like that. And all that's makeup and whatever. Yeah. But it's like, but you also want her to look perfect. So how do you expect her to reconcile that?
It's so unfair.
It's crazy.
It's so unfair. I think for me, like my sane place that I found is like thinking about beauty as self-expression. Like that's where I like not trying to fit a standard, but thinking about like if I continue to think about like the way I do my hair or my makeup or the way I dress is like a form of self-expression, then that's like always what I can come back to as like a reliable way to know that I'm not getting like sucked into the crazy mental spiral.
Yeah.
I love that you're blonde.
Let's talk
because I would love to dye my hair, but I'm so terrified because I know that it means that you have to do a lot of like deep conditioning and maintenance and moisturizing.
I know it's so much, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know what I was doing before.
Yeah. You look at pictures of yourself with dark hair and you're like, so boring. Who's like, that boring girl?
But also it means that like people can identify you really readily, like from across the street.
Yes.
They're like, hey, I thought I saw you.
Yes, yes.
It, like, so it's even like, if I'm wearing like really boring, like dressed down clothes, I gotta be wearing a hat too, because otherwise someone
will
find
like,
you.
Recognize
and I'm like,
you.
No.
But it's a really like unique, it's like highlights, lowlights, like there's a lot going on. You must go to someone professionally.
I go to Roe Morgan. He also does Miss Naomi Campbell's hair. So I'm very lucky to like see this man. You should go to him. Oh, he's also like so funny.
I don't know where I'm going to get all this money to see these people, but okay.
Okay, but your hair is like definitely something that you should like not try and cut corners on. Hair or plastic surgery. like and she's got to have it. Like don't try and be like, oh, I'm just going to go to this roundabout person. Yeah. Like, and then they'll do it in their kitchen.
Yeah, no, no, no. But I think hair, for me, I would argue that you can do your hair on your own. For, like, at least for me, for like my natural hair.
Yes, I feel like it's also so
for
much
color,
time
though.
Too. Like I like... Yeah. So sometimes when I have like a lot of work to do, but I have somewhere to go, like I'll just hire Glam Squad to come because that means that both my hands are free and I can write and type and like, you know, be on my phones or whatever and they can do my hair because otherwise it's like, now I got to spend an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, like wash my hair, drying it, curling it. All
do you use one of like those services, like those?
Yeah, I have Glam Squad come.
Glam Squad, okay. And do you, I've never used it. Can you like request to them? Like, because my whole thing is like, do you know how to do makeup on black people?
Oh, you sure can. Okay. And I write it in the notes every time. And now they know.
Okay.
They once sent me someone and it was my fault because I forgot to write it. And he was like, I'm really nervous. And I was like, it's okay. We're both going to get through this.
And you're like, I have, but at least
but
you
I'm
have
not
your
an
own
idiot.
Foundation.
That's why you have to.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
You have to like request it because yeah, it is like, but most of the, I will say the glam squad, no one has ever messed up my hair. Like they're,
oh, that's good. Okay.
Fair. Even that guy who claimed he didn't know what he was doing. Yeah. Like he still managed to get through it. You know,
it's, yeah.
Everyone is like very well versed. They have the makeup for every skin tone and they're very like sensitive,
okay, maybe I'll
you know,
try
cause
it.
I think they're like very nervous about
good. They
getting
should be.
Some kind of, you know, Brad press for like messing up
well,
someone's face
be.
Yeah, of course, because it should be a service for everybody,
of
but
course.
There also are specific ones just for Black women.
Oh really?
Well. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you'll have to like send me those. I can put those in the show notes.
Yeah.
Also. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you went blonde.
I went blonde like 2 years ago.
Do you worry about like the combination of heat and like dye? Like I just like worry, maybe a little bit irrationally because I've looked at so many natural hair.
Well,
I'm like heatless. I'm like heat free.
Ooh, good for you.
Yeah.
I did that this summer.
Yeah.
And it really worked
oh,
out
yeah,
for
you
me.
Got braids. I remember your Instagram stories because you were like, these braids are so goddamn heavy. Like
the braid. Well, before the braids, I was heat free. But the braids were the worst idea ever. And then recently I was like, oh, I miss my braids.
They looked really pretty on you. But you know what? Box braids especially, they take like a week to soften. Like they feel so stiff at first.
They were like literally down to my butt. And I didn't think about having to live like that. It was so difficult to sleep.
Yeah.
It was so difficult to exercise.
Yeah.
And it like pulled out so much hair because they were so
heavy.
Yeah. And I wanted them like bigger because like I thought that also looked cooler.
Yeah.
And like, and also did not, I already took 6 hours. I did not want to
sit for longer.
Than that. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Well, you should try crochet braids because that's like a much quicker way to get braids without doing every single
I think
little.
If I just do it though, again, I'm going to do cornrows. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, this is just too much.
Too much. And you work out all the time. Like how many days a week do you work out?
I try and work out at least 4 days a week.
So you have to wash your hair all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And you also need like a style that you can work out in.
Yes. So,
so many considerations.
The braids was not like for me.
yeah. But I also find that like hair can get in the way of workouts to a degree that's unfortunate.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, should I get a wig? I've been watching Housewives of Atlanta.
Ugh, my fave show.
And they wear so many wigs and they look so amazing. But also at the same time, they have so many people to like help them put their wigs on and like do their stuff.
Right.
So I'm like,
it's a whole different thing. Because when a wig looks good, it looks amazing. But like a wig that looks bad, like there is nothing more tragic.
I know. But I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool to have pink hair.
I know. And then
so
just
cool.
Like change it
all
the time.
Yeah, it'd be so cool. But then I was also like, oh, I don't know where I'm going to keep all these wigs. Like they have like storage is really important because they're expensive. Like
oh, they're so
I would
expensive.
Never invest in something that I couldn't like
yeah.
keep properly. So I mean, maybe one day.
Yeah, no, wig life is like, I think it's growing in popularity, I think.
Oh my God, it's a huge movement.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense because you can protect your own hair and change it up. But I just, in person, like you always know. Has there ever been someone in person that you're talking to, like close up, that's wearing a wig where you like can't tell? Like,
no, not anymore. But also it's like what I do. I think that we like are more in tune to it than like the other people.
Yeah.
I think that so many more people have no idea.
Yeah. And I guess like if they know, then like who, like, so what? Maybe that's what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm wearing a wig and what? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like no one cares.
Tell me about the beauty trends. No, okay. Should we start with good or bad? What would you prefer?
I mean, whatever. I don't
let's
care.
Let's start with good.
I'm very
let's,
honest.
Let's
so.
Start with good. Okay. What are the beauty products or beauty trends that you're loving right now?
Beauty products. Okay. Well, I drink a lot of tea.
Okay.
As you know.
Yes.
So, and I drink black tea.
Okay.
So I've been very, very paranoid about my teeth staining.
Yes. Yes.
So now I have a teeth whitening system.
Okay. From like one of those ones that I see like all
oh,
the girls
yeah,
on Instagram
like,
with.
Insta, like teeth okay. whitening things. It's from this brand called DPL.
Okay.
And I use it with some gel.
Oh,
and
God.
I put it
okay,
in I put it in the thing and it like you put it in for 10 minutes and honestly it really works. I probably use it for 5 times and now my teeth are white.
I mean you have very white teeth.
Yeah. It's from that though. I swear.
Really? How much does it cost?
I think it's like $100.
Which is good because like a professional teeth whitening service
and
is
I've
like.
And I've done that before. And what I don't like about it is like it makes your teeth really sensitive and it kind of hurts. And anything
does
that
hurt.
Does that.
Yeah.
What is this for real?
What is the science here?
And this, I don't have any weird sensitivity, so.
Yeah, okay. So the teeth whitening kit. And having white teeth is like a big factor in beauty that like can't be overlooked. I'm also very like, are my teeth like,
it could not be white enough, to be honest. I'm like, as white as possible.
Yeah.
Like without, you know, actually causing me physical pain.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. That's a good one.
So I also am very shiny all the time, as you can see.
Okay, but like with a beautiful glow.
Thank you. But it can get out of control, so I always like to have like a mattifying powder.
Okay.
So MAC has this like one that's called Next to Nothing, and it's like sort of tinted, but it's just like you brush it on and it just kind of like mats you out a little bit.
It like absorbs excess oil.
Yes.
Okay.
It's perfect.
I'm surprised we live in such a like Glossier, Fenty beauty world where like everyone's just so obsessed with those products. So usually when people tell me the products they're loving, it's like the new like hot thing. But MAC makes good stuff.
I like MAC.
They've
always made all the shades.
Exactly. And I'm like, can MAC like get its due? They've just been out here for a while and people are acting also, like.
Yeah, they just make good makeup. Like
they really do. The packaging though, sometimes I'm like, why is this falling apart? I just got it.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. So, and what's that one called? Next to Nothing?
Next to Nothing.
Okay.
And then the last product is a toss-up because I don't use that many makeup products on my face.
Yeah, you do a very, like natural, bare, beautiful face.
But I always have to have my eyebrows, like...
Your eyebrows are perfect.
...put together. Yeah. Thank you. I actually got eyebrow shamed this year by, like, a facialist.
What did she say?
She was like... You've done too much to your eyebrows. They look really bad. And she was like, don't ever let anyone touch your eyebrows with me. And I actually used to thread them because they can get like unruly. My mom has like the most perfect eyebrows in the world. I'll like when I go home for Christmas, I'll Insta story of my mom's eyebrows. And she like has never done anything to them.
Yeah.
And they're just like really like healthy and thick looking, you know? And I'm like, oh, mom, like, why can't I have eyebrows like that? So I just grew out my eyebrows and I haven't like done anything to them in like months. Now I just like fill them in lightly every day with Shiseido powder. And then I like brush a gel over them to keep them neat. And that's like my necessary. Like if I don't do anything else to my whole face, the brows got to be
done. You'll do the brows?
Yes. Okay. And then the last thing I love is blush.
Ooh, what blush do you like?
So my friend is the beauty director at Elle.com, and she turned me on to blush because I was like, oh, black women can't wear blush. Like,
what?
We'll have, like, you know, I like was so not into makeup, and this was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and because I think I was like really scared of it. And she was like, no, you totally can wear blush.
Yeah.
And I actually have like super red undertones to my skin.
Me too.
Like if I get out of the shower, my face is red. Like if I
me
work
too,
out
me too
hard, my face is red.
I can like it's feel like my nose is a little bit red right now.
Oh yeah.
Like,
and the cold, my nose gets so
my
red.
My ears are red.
Rudolph.
Yes. Oh my gosh. My husband always calls me Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. I'm like, can you not call me that? It makes me so self-conscious. But same thing happens to me.
So actually blush is like very complimentary because my face does that naturally. So my favorite is this very, very, very expensive blush, which I am not kidding you, I'll show it on Insta stories tomorrow. I am like scraping out with like my finger because
I'm gonna maximize who makes it.
$80. It's from Kajir Weiss.
That sounds very fancy.
And
I have no idea what that is.
It's like I am like down to like so little of it.
What color is it?
It's like this like very like rosy red.
Okay. Yeah. And where did you get it?
Julie gave it to me, my friend that is the beauty director at Elle.com. So she
beauty
gave it to
editors
me and I was just like, this is amazing. And it's a cream blush. You put it on with your finger.
Oh, I love cream blushes.
And
I love cream blushes.
It spreads really nice and it doesn't move. Like
it just stays put?
All day. I'm like, oh, it's pricey for a reason, but I think it's like $80, which is like insane.
That's really expensive. I think like the NARS one that I like is like 40, and I think that that's like outrageous. And it like
yes, but if it can last you for a long time, like I've had this blush for like a long time, but that's why we're like at the very end now. And I have other ones that I like, but this one is like my fave.
Your fave, yeah. And I also feel like depending on how expensive the product it is, or like how hard it is to get again, like the Pat McGrath highlighter, I am savoring it because you can't buy it anymore. So I'm like, this has to be a very special occasion to break this out. Otherwise,
sometimes
I'm going to like
act with candles. Yeah, it's like can't burn this. Like I love it. I don't know if it's coming back.
You've got to have like your B team that's like ready. Okay. Tell me about the beauty trends that you are just like so over, don't need to see anymore, are so sick of.
Okay. My first one is like InstaFace.
Wait, what is InstaFace?
Oh my God. Like, let's just like look okay, up a please. Few examples. I'm sure that there
I'm
are
like
a, they're probably in my export page because I was actually casting for something where I needed beauty influencers. It's just like this like kind of very like airbrushed look oh, that no okay. one looks like in person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's just like, you know, it took 90 steps to get.
Yeah.
And it's just like, who wants to have your face looking like that? It's just so unnatural.
I know exactly what
you mean. And I'm really tired of like looking at people like that.
I know.
And all these
Do you think
girls
the pendulum's
like
going to swing
this.
Back?
Like oh, this yeah. is Insta face.
Yep. It's like the cut crease and the gradient eyebrow and the lip liner and the fake
That's
lashes.
Just, like,
and
like crazy.
Yes. Yeah,
I don't want anyone to look like that anymore. And I'm sure this girl's like very young. And that's the thing. I think that this kind of
it
makeup ages you so fast. And I'm like,
totally.
Just be cool being young. Just be cool being 14. You look great. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like the most I did was like a lip smackers when I was that young. These girls are out here looking like in full drag.
I know. It is. So pervasive, and I think it's reached its peak where like it has to swing back the other way, but I just don't know what it's going to take for it to swing the other way, because no one's really championing.
What really gets me is like when the men do it too.
Wait, what? Like, oh, I've not seen that.
There's like several men that like also have Insta face, and it's just like, I don't know, like I had a meeting the other day with a girl, and she had contoured her nose, and it like she had contoured it to like the shape was like a Who from Whoville. It was like you could see the difference on the I was just like, why would you do that to your face? So like, I mean, I'm sure it looked great under her like wonderful lighting in her house, but we were in like a conference room with like fluorescent lighting, and I was just like, huh, okay.
Contouring is it's shocking that people think that they can just like contour their face and just have a normal day. Like, people can see these dark lines,
and I just don't even want to wash that off at night. Like, I don't even like washing off like a ton of makeup, which is why I don't wear it. Like, if I like have something, I'll obviously like do my face, but I really hate to like come home and have to
have like a mask that you have to like scrub off.
It's the worst. I am so over matte lips as well.
Okay. Thank you. Because they had their moment.
Yes. But also, like, let's just call it what it is. That shit is uncomfortable. And it takes so much to, like, commit to it, because you got to reapply every every few hours. And then when it, like, starts getting kind of gross, you got to take it all off and then put it all
pull
on
it all
again.
Yeah.
Who has that time?
Because you can't build on that.
No.
Yeah.
It's gross. Enough. That is like a really no-no for me.
I think that's
I'm
going.
Over it.
I think by 2018, I think the matte. I think about the Fenty gloss bomb. Like, everyone's getting more into gloss.
I hope so.
I think the matte lip is.
But I don't know.
Fading.
It's like takes so long for these trends to like they just like started booming in like Ohio. You know what I mean? It takes a long time for people to start hating them.
That's
you know,
true.
For us, it's like everything's over in like 2 minutes in New York. But for the other places like Pensacola, Florida, they still are rocking a matte lip. For sure.
Right. You're right. You're right. Okay. Okay. Any other beauty trends that you're just like?
Just like really like ridiculous eyelashes too. Like, I told you, I've been watching a lot of Housewives of Atlanta, and I'm like, isn't blinking heavy for you?
Yeah.
Or like ones with like rhinestones in them or
that
something.
Is so
it's
tacky.
Just like.
But you know what?
Oh my God. I love a lash.
I love a lash. Yeah. I can understand
you
where they're coming from.
Amazing.
They make
lashes.
You look so like doe-eyed and
but
beautiful.
But then when you like put so many on, like, I mean, this girl's must have like two strips on,
two
full
strips
plus extensions. So when you put that on, then when you take them off, you look dead.
Yeah. People get used to seeing your face that way.
And it's
so
like,
then...
what? But they're so unnatural looking. And like, whatever. If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. Like, I do not judge you. But I would just like prefer to see like a little bit more like normal.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it just seems heavy.
Yeah. I think I read an article a while ago from Beyonce's makeup artist, and she was like, B and I decided like she's not going to do lashes anymore. And I was like, that's really chic. And like, I get it.
Yeah. You can when you're Beyonce. But like then if you're like out here like the rest of us, I understand. You like might need a pumping up every now and again. But just like there's a limit to like what looks like normal and beautiful and like what looks cartoonish.
Yes. And it's, you know, it's actually interesting because Beyonce could do anything. But I actually think like more and more her beauty looks are very accessible. Like she's doing like a high pony thing and like a pretty natural-ish face. There may be a lot behind that natural looking face, but like I think she's actually been kind of like a good advocate for like a normal amount of makeup.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
She always looks good. And Solange, too. She doesn't, like, ever do too much for the most part. So, okay. So you went to therapy today.
Yeah, I was in therapy today.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the difference between a therapist and a psychiatrist?
So a psychiatrist, like, it's usually, I mean, they can prescribe you medication. Okay. So you usually go see a psychiatrist if you have some sort of condition.
Like got it.
Bipolar disorder, depression, like that kind of
stuff.
A therapist just talks. And then, like, they can also, like, recommend that you see a psychiatrist if they feel like that you need medication. But they can't actually prescribe you medication.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so how often do you, like, how long have you been seeing your therapist, and how often do you see him or her?
I had to break up with one therapist this year.
Really?
I think I'm going to have to break up with this one too.
Really?
Yeah. It's so
hard.
How do you pick
your therapist? Like,
well,
just
this one was recommended to me, and the other one I, like, found online, 'cause I, like, went through a really hard breakup at the beginning of the year, and I felt that I needed a relationship therapist, and, like, what I needed. So I, like, went to, like, find
a relationship
therapist. Okay. So that's what I found. But then, I don't know, she was really, like, into pushing medication on me, and which I don't judge anyone for taking medication. There's plenty of people that need it, but I just felt like that's not what I needed.
Kind of irresponsible.
Coping mechanisms. I just think that a lot of people in my neighborhood must be, like, crazy medicated.
Yeah, I mean, that seems kind of irresponsible to, like, jump to that.
She just, like, I mean, it was after a few months, but she was just like, it was just very heavy handed. Like, every single session, she was just like, I really think you should go on medication.
Medication for what, though?
She wanted me to go on antidepressants.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I was depressed. My boyfriend dumped me.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's not.
And I was, like, depressed because I was, like, dating, and, like, all the guys were just, like, the worst. Like, that guy I told you about.
Yeah.
That, like, thought that my job was a joke and just treated me so badly.
So is this why you're celibate now?
Well, I don't like to have sex with random people.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Good.
So I don't have a problem not having sex until I'm with someone that I want to be with.
In a relationship.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm celibate.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so you had a bad relationship, then you started seeing that other guy.
And then I had,
like an
subsequent, like, worse relationships. Like,
really?
Yeah,
okay, wait,
like,
what made these guys so awful?
I think that a lot of times men can be very selfish.
Yeah.
And I think that I am a very selfless person in a friendship and in a relationship, like, even to my own detriment. I will make myself uncomfortable and make someone else happy.
Right.
And I just feel like I did that so much that I tried to, like, be a little bit stronger when I was, like, dating and, like, a little bit less flexible. Sometimes it worked, but then sometimes, like, if a guy is inflexible, then that doesn't help anyone. And I just felt like, I don't know, like, they didn't care enough. Like, they just were, like, treating me so badly. And I was like, you know what? I don't need any of this.
Yeah. New York City, so, I think, in particular, is a really hard place to date.
Totally.
I think guys here have the privilege of having just their
endless choices.
Yes.
And also, like, girls that will put up with a lot of that bullshit. And so I think that, like, when you don't,
and you have standards,
they're like, well, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you such a bitch? I'm like...
Yeah. So you initially got a therapist for relationships, but now it's just become
life. I kind of think I've, like, outgrew that. Like, I fixed myself from that breakup. And then I was like, well, I think I still need to talk about things.
Yeah.
And my problem with my old therapist was she was, like, an older white woman.
Okay.
And I just didn't feel like she, like, related to me at all.
Mm.
And
did you feel like you constantly kind of had to explain things that were kind of, like, evident?
Yeah. And, like, she said really weird stuff to me.
Like what?
Like, one time I was telling her about how, like, I read this article about how black women are more likely to accept emotional abuse because they're so rejected, like, in general, like, in the world, like, beauty standards, like,
everything,
yeah. Right? It's, like, so difficult. So it's, like, that's why I also feel like I was more, like, able to just, like, take all these guys, like, treating me, like, terribly, you know, because it's like, oh, well, of course they are. And so I told her this, like, that I recognized it was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, and I want to fix it for myself. And she was like, I don't really know if that's true. I mean, people love Michelle Obama. And I was like,
what?
Exactly. And I was like, huh?
No. Yeah. I need to find someone else to. Yeah. No. I don't know if that's true. People love Michelle Obama. That is offensive.
Right? And I was like, well, also people called Michelle Obama a monkey this year, just so you are clear.
Oh my God.
On that part of it.
Yeah. And she probably thought she meant that's the unfortunate part. Like, she didn't see anything wrong with what she said.
No,
do you know what I mean?
Not
like,
at
she
all.
Thought that that was like.
Fine. So it really stressed me out. I was like, I gotta get a new therapist.
Is your new therapist black?
She's young and black.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And how is that dynamic?
It's good, but she's like a little tough lovey. And I'm like,
You're not my mom.
That. Yeah. And I don't know. Like, she, I think, judges me, like, also. And so I'm like, this is weird too.
You want like a non-judgmental relationship.
Yeah.
So I haven't done therapy. So you would recommend it for, like, you think therapy is just important for everyone?
I do. I mean, yeah, I think it's important to be like, to recognize your shortcomings and like also like look on how to get through them. So like one thing that therapy has like opened up for me is that I'm super, super impatient. Mm. Like I want everything that I want now and I don't want to wait.
Okay.
Like if I see like a line at the coffee place, I'm like, oh, I'm so mad.
Yeah.
You know? And like, but that extends to everything in my life. And that is like a real problem. And so one of the things that like was recommended to me by both therapists is just like learning to be more present and learning to like appreciate moments and like gratitude and like all of that stuff, because it is important. Like, cause right. I'll get something and then I'll be like, okay, what's my next step? You know?
Right.
So I'll like get somewhere and be like, okay, what's next?
Yes,
you know? And
yeah.
So I'm like always like rushing through a lot of life and not like appreciating like
the moment you're
things.
At this
yes exactly
time.
So like,
have you tried meditating?
Yes, I have tried meditating.
Not for you?
I have tried this every which way. I have like an app.
Headspace, yeah.
I have gone to Mindful.
Yeah.
I have like done a lot of things, like, but it's really hard for me. I know it's good. I know all the studies. I know all of the research and the numbers that
I think
say
it's
that
fine
it's good.
To not meditate. And I also think that your meditation can just be like, I always think of like, even if I'm cooking or if I'm like working out, like that can be your meditation if you're being really mindful about it.
Yeah.
And like focusing.
Yeah. So that's what I try to do. Like when I'm in like a workout class, like definitely not have my phone, to, like definitely be like, this is your hour for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or, like if I walk around or something, just be like not looking at my phone. Like this is like,
just taking the time. I don't think you necessarily have to sit cross-legged like and just meditate.
No.
So, okay. I'm just so curious because I've never done this. So you go and they're like, so what do you have to talk to me about? Like, do they kind of put it back on you to like guide the session? I know it's expensive. Like therapists are like, they start at like $200-something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an expensive hour.
Yeah. But
so do you like come
with
notes? You
can also find ones that like work with your insurance company too.
Oh, really? Okay.
So that like it ends up being like $30 an hour.
Oh, that's
like
good.
The one I'm paying now is like full price, but the other one that I had was like $30 an hour.
Okay. But even $30 an hour, like I feel like, do you come with like notes and like stuff to talk about?
No. I mean, it depends on like what happened like during your week.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
so is that how
so
they
like
got
my
it?
First, like all the therapy sessions at the beginning of the year were like all about like my terrible boyfriend and like what he did to me and like how sad I was and like, whatever. And then they like turned into like, oh my God, I'm never going to meet anybody and I have to go to all my friends' weddings and I have to like be happy for them. And like, you know, this is like horrible. But then it turned into like what we're talking about now is like how I will make myself uncomfortable to make other people more comfortable. Mm. So like I will like overwork myself and like all this like stuff, like putting like
other
always
people.
Put myself last, like always, always, always.
Interesting.
And so like to work on like that and realizing that like I need to stand up for myself and, you know, say what I want and like not just like bend to like everything, like especially in like a professional environment, because like I realize I do that a lot and then it makes me so stressed out. So I have all this stress for what?
Yeah, to please someone else.
It's crazy.
And so what does your therapist, like what does she guide you to do in those situations to like avoid that situation?
Well, you're not supposed to like tell someone.
Okay, they
do.
Don't give you like actual advice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yes
kind
and
of.
No, but like it's, you're supposed to like sort of come to conclusions on your own. So like, yes, I know I need to be like none of this, you know? I know I need to be like, actually, that's not possible. Or like, right. My team can't do that.
Right. Saying no more. Yeah.
And like, I have been, you know, and then I like go to therapy and then I tell her like the instances where I did good. And then she'll say, okay, but like, what did you do for yourself this week? Which you like means like, you know, did you go to ballet class, which is like supposed to be the thing I'm doing for myself, or like, you know, what did you do for yourself? And like, if I say nothing, then like I haven't done well, because I usually am like doing stuff for everyone else, mm-hmm. like because I have to. Oh, I have a birthday party. Oh, my mom needs me to call her. Oh, I need to do that. Yeah. But like, I don't do something for yourself. For me.
Could some of that be tied to like your online shopping addiction? Like maybe that's the thing that you feel like you can do for yourself.
No, but that's like, so it's like making me like,
I know it's not
broke.
I know I can't, it's not do that. Good, but like maybe you're like, I work so hard. Let me just treat myself and like buy these shoes or buy this thing.
But that I also feel like is a problem, which I like want to address in therapy, because I'm like, I don't need any more stuff.
Of course.
I want to like, and it's also part of being present, just being like, look, you are just happy with like the 90 sweaters you own. Like I bought 3 pairs of jeans last week. Do I need another pair of jeans? No, I probably have 45 pairs of jeans. Yeah. But I was like, oh, I need these 3 new ones. Like that's crazy, you know? But like it made me feel better for a second. But like, does that stop me from wanting to buy something this week? No. So like it's like a beast that doesn't feed itself. So I want to just like cut all of that out.
Yeah. Like what you've done with like sugar and all of that. So let's do the same thing for shopping.
Yeah. But I'm like, I need something, because otherwise I'll just be like living like a monk.
What do you prioritize? Like what's your like thing that you're like, I will spend money on this until the day I die?
Well, hair, because even though I can like a lot of people like offer like free hair treatments or whatever, like just this week Dove was like, oh my God, like come get your hair colored, whatever. And I'm like, no, I don't trust anybody. I'm like, no, I will pay for it. Yeah. So I know it's good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to take risks like that.
I hear you.
So like hair is definitely one. Workouts is another one. I'm very lucky because I get invited to do a lot of fitness stuff. And also like host a fitness show for BET.com.
So wait,
like,
what?
Yeah, it's called the Flex Zone.
Wait, why am I just learning about this now? The Flex Zone? So wait, you like do like workout stuff?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So like I'm very lucky in that regard. But then also like when I want to just do my own thing, like sometimes like those classes are like way too much. And like when like, you know, but it's like, well, it's free. So you really have no right to complain.
Yeah, beggars
like,
can't be choosers.
When I want to do my own workout, I will pay for it, because I'm like, this is what I want to do. And this is what I know works for my body and makes me feel good. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that.
What are the workouts that you like?
I reluctantly like SoulCycle.
Ooh.
I say reluctantly because like I do not subscribe to any of like the mantras and the behaviors and like all of that, especially not the merch, but it is a good workout. And what I like most about it is it's the same everywhere. So if I'm in San Francisco, if I'm in Miami, if I'm in LA, if I'm in Atlanta, I know I can go to SoulCycle and I know I can get the same kind
You're
of workout
sweat.
I would get in New York. Because if you ever go on like a vacation, like sign up for a yoga class, like you'll be laying on the ground half the time. And I'm like, this is not a workout. Yeah. This is not yoga. Or not. It's, but maybe it is, but it's not the yoga I'm used to doing in New York. So like, I don't like that. I want to know that I'm like getting a workout.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I went to like yoga in Thailand and I was like, I was expecting it to be like real yoga. And it was like very like much meditation, like with like some light stretching. And I was like, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
I also love Pilates on the Reformer.
I love Reformer. I love that. Yeah.
I love it. And I mean, it's very difficult and like challenging. I love any dance related workout.
Me too.
So any like kind of dance class where I like the music.
Yeah.
That's also really important. And that's also why I only pick the black people to go to at SoulCycle.
Oh, that's only. So real. So
you can see.
But I took a black guy's class and his music was not, I was like, lots of house music.
You have to like not click them first. Cause sometimes they're like real gay and that's the kind of music they like. Right.
Exactly.
But you have to like click. Okay. So even though I have one that's gay right now, I have two that are gay right now, but they like are like the most amazing, Francis and Mike Press.
Francis and Mike Press. Okay. Yeah. What locations do they teach at?
Mike is at 63rd Street.
Okay.
And Francis is at 46th Street.
Okay.
And then, Mabel on 54th Street. Okay. She's Dominican. I really like her.
Okay.
You have to like,
I'm all for the racial screening of your SoulCycle instructor. It's very rare.
You have to.
Yeah.
So I like click their profile and then like the music comes up. Yes. So you have to check that first.
Okay.
If I see like any Imagine Dragons, it's a wrap.
Imagine Dragons. Yeah. Yes, that and that can that can happen very easily with SoulCycle and it can really like take you out of it.
It will make me angry because it's not cheap and I actually pay for it with my own money.
Yeah, I feel that. Last question. Mm-hmm. When do you feel the most beautiful?
So I definitely feel most beautiful like right after I get ready.
Okay.
Like I like the process of getting ready. I like that process more than going out itself. Like I could get ready and stay home and be completely happy.
Just like make that your night.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. We have to go nowhere. But then, you know, I always do go out because I'm like, well, now everyone has to see me.
Right. Of course.
But like, like if I'm not single, I could just like get ready and stay
just
home.
Stay
like,
in.
Honestly, yes.
How long do you take? Because I hate getting rushed getting ready because I actually...
Oh, I like the challenge of it. I'm like, I make it like a thing. I'm like, ooh, can I get ready in 20 minutes?
Oh, wow.
Can
that's
I get
stressful.
Ready in 10 minutes? Okay. Yeah, I love it. I mean, ideally, I like to take like an hour. So I can like really take my time and like listen to all the music I want. But like I have had to like turn it around really quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that. I think it's like...
It's like a kind of a fun challenge.
Yeah. I always listen to music. So like the playlist is always going. The lighting, I always pick out my outfit.
Before. Okay.
Yeah. I always like, if I know I have to like go out on like Friday, for example, I got invited to a party on Friday night, like today.
Oh, okay.
So I already thought of what I was going to wear.
Okay.
So that's going to make it easier because I don't like to like be stressed, like to be like, oh my God, I have to go out right now. And then like think about, like I always like to know what I'm gonna wear before, and then it also helps me like know what makeup I'm gonna wear, you know.
So you let the clothes dictate the makeup.
Yeah, because you can't like,
some people do the opposite. Some people are like, I want to wear a red lip, so I have to find the right outfit.
No, I'm clothes first, makeup second. And so yeah, the lights, like I mean I always have the same kind of combo of lights on in my apartment, so that doesn't really change.
Okay. Do you like candles?
I always light candles anyway. Okay. I'm a very candle burning person.
Okay.
Like right now I have my holiday candles going.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, every day I come home, I pretty much burn a candle.
Okay. Okay.
So that's like a given. And I usually shower and then I do my hair.
Okay.
And then I do my makeup.
Shower, hair, makeup. Okay.
And then I get dressed. Or usually I get dressed and then I do my makeup.
Yeah.
Because you never want to like get makeup on the clothes. And that will be a thing where you, now I can't wear this or like whatever.
Create self stress.
I always try and get dressed and then makeup. And then I like take some pictures before I leave.
Of course.
And then I could be completely happy, like not going anywhere.
Yeah. There is something like sacred about that time before like the outside world ruins everything.
Yes, exactly. Like you step outside and then like people will be talking to you and ruining it. And you're just like, we're like, I looked so cute and it was so safe before. And now you've like destroyed it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But generally like that's when I feel most beautiful.
That's good. Well, thank you so much for coming and recording and sharing all of your wisdom. Thank you guys for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.